Hey, welcome to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton Hove area on this hot and sultry night. That was Relaxed by the fantastic Frankie Goes to Hollywood, and we know that Holly Johnson's living with HIV, so we you know it's nice to open the track with somebody living with HIV at the show. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
So I'm joined on Zoom by Sue, Philip and Stephen. Stephen's in New York and Philip and Sue are in their hometowns, aren't you?
In London here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So what you've been up to, loves?
Spreading the net, aren't we? All over the world.
Yeah.
I know. Gosh. I'm just... It's just great that we're all together. There's four of us together, which is quite nice, which that hasn't been done for a little while, so it's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's a bit, I mean, although we're in our separate homes, it's a bit cooler than the studio because it gets quite hot in there, doesn't it? It's not much room in there. Sue, what have you been up to?
Just sort of, I've recently had some time away, sort of recently got back, and seems that I've... You know when you have some time off and you get back feeling all relaxed and then otter day you feel as though you've never been away. It's like I thought, God, what happened to that holiday?
So
I quickly booked another one. So because you have to, don't you? I'm a girl that plays hard and works. No, hang on, works. Hang on, works hard and plays hard. And why not if you can?
So you do work hard, Sue.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Where did you go, Sue?
I went to Cape Verde, which is beautiful, and I'd recommend it. You've got winter sun all year round, so it's lovely.
Fantastic. And Philip, what have you been up to?
I've been at the same. I had a bit of time out, a bit of time away, but recently picked up my activism. Had a lovely meeting the other day at Positively UK, where I used to go for a gay men's meetup, which sadly they had to suspend because of funding. But they managed to put together a little occasion, and there was Dan Harry from I Kissed a Boy, who's a friend of the show, and Dan Glass from ACT UP was there talking about his George Michael extravaganza that was also at the weekend. And then obviously we'll talk a little bit more later about it, but I got to visit the quilt at the Tate Modern, which was incredible. Like, so I'll play a little film, a clip of some interviews that I got while I was there, but it was amazing just to see everybody on all my old friends. As we know, people living with HIV, it's just such a vast and vibrant community, and I forget how much I treasure it. And it's such an honour and privilege to like catch up with people and give them a big hug and just to check in with everybody.
Isn't it just, I mean, we are a really eclectic bunch, aren't we, as people living with HIV. I mean, as we know, HIV can affect anybody, but, you know, it's lovely meeting people from year to year and seeing them thriving and doing well. Just knowing that with on treatment, we can't pass it on. And we'll talk about that a bit later as well. Stephen, you're on a bit of a busman's holiday, aren't you? Well, you're working, but you're also doing the shows, I believe.
So I am currently in New York City and, just enjoying the all the excitement of Broadway and just, just getting to spoil myself a little bit, getting to see some shows, which is it's my therapy. So it's been really good, and I'm doing my show here, so that's happening later on today.
Let's talk about that later. So in the meantime, let's be getting on with a song, and this is by Naina Cherry, and it's from an album called Red Hot and Blue, which was a fundraiser for HIV and AIDS research and awareness. And the song, the whole album is based on Cole Porter songs. And this song is I Got You Under My Skin.
So if you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. You can also acquire constantly some of our amazing podcasts. We have an amazing interview that Philip did, didn't we? Didn't you, Philip?
Yeah, it's coming up next. I can't wait to share it with you.
Gosh.
So, let's hear it.
For the first time in its history, the entire UK AIDS Memorial Quilt was laid out in Tate Modern's Turbine Hall. A unique opportunity to experience the quilt in its entirety. Each stitch is a powerful testament to grief, protest, love, and a refusal to forget. Described as more than an artwork, it's a living voice and a vital piece of history. The UK AIDS Memorial Quilt is an irreplaceable piece of our social history, telling the stories of many individuals lost during the early days of the HIV/AIDS epidemic in the 80s and 90s. After years in storage, this monumental work was brought back into the public eye, thanks to the AIDS Memorial Quilt Conservation Partnership, a vital initiative that aims to raise awareness for the quilt's historical importance and to conserve and restore it for future generations. I managed to talk to a few people behind the quilt and a few familiar faces who were there to visit it, starting with Maria Balshaw, the director of Tate.
Hello, I'm Maria Balshaw, I'm director of Tate, and to stand here with these quilts gathered and shown to be shared with the public in the Turbine Hall is just so moving and profound, because I'm of the generation that remembers when they were made, and I remember them being shown in Hyde Park. And now we have this space to share acts of love and memory, but also kind of force for change in our now. So I am hugely proud that we're presenting them here and that so many people are going to see them because they need to be seen.
Next, I spoke to actor Russell Tovey.
I'm Russell Tovey. I'm at the Tate Modern with the UK AIDS Quilt. I'm incredibly moved. I don't think I've seen it like this, and to see it in such a public forum like this is incredibly important, especially in today's climate and the rhetoric that is bouncing around. The planet is so dangerous and violent, and we need to remember what's been lost, but also we need to feel the fight to continue because it's not over. And I feel honoured to be able to witness this today. So please come and see it if you can. It's very important and worth it.
I then chatted to Susan Coyle Haley, co-founder and executive director of Phoenix Health Movement.
It's extraordinarily moving to be here today and see the quilts. Each a story of someone with a truly extraordinary life brought to light with such art by the people who love them. But despite the progress that we've seen over the years, we have to remember that there continues to be echoes from the past. In 2022, 630,000 people died from AIDS-related causes. And it's estimated from the cuts that we've seen from the Trump administration, there's going to be over 6 million more deaths in the next 4 years. So we have to continue to fight.
After this, I spoke with Siobhan Lanigan from the Food Chain and the UK AIDS Quilt Partnership.
I feel very happy that we have the whole of the AIDS UK Memorial Quilt in the Turbine Hall. It's such an important recognition of the importance and value of the lives of the people that we loved and lost in the 1980s and 90s, and such a strong message that we mustn't forget that, and that we must continue the work we still need to do to bring an end to the stigma that people living with HIV face, even today, and indeed to bring an end to HIV across the world, which at the moment is looking a harder task than ever to achieve. But the quilt being here is a way of us saying we've not forgotten, we celebrate everybody who died, the battle's not over, and we must continue.
Next up, I couldn't resist getting a few words from Richard Angel, the Chief Executive of the Terence Higgins Trust.
Being here at Tate Modern and seeing the UK AIDS quilts all laid out together brings both a humbling and an inspiration for where we are. Akin to seeing bodies lined up after a war, to see the gravity of the death that happened when people were taken too early, represented by so few names, but so many that will be immortalised because of it. So inspiring, because each one represents a name or a friendship group or a service organisation and the people they supported, and how people wanted to remember how they lived so much that they dedicated their time and their grief to making something both beautiful and immortal. You walk among them and think of the people that you'd like to have met, that you lost the opportunity to have it as friends, but also to say, for them, we keep working. Yes, things have changed since the NAMES project started. Treatment is available. Prevention comes in the form of a daily pill, but we have got so much more to do. Whether it's ending the onward transmission of HIV, not for one community, but for every single person, that falls to us to do now. But alongside that, and until we are no longer needed, we must make sure we support people living with HIV to live well and to prosper, to tell their story and to make their own future. Come down to Tate Modern and see this beautiful display. Share your stories. Think of who you might have lost and remember and dedicate yourself to ending this epidemic.
I also caught up with Anna Brewster, the CEO of The Food Chain.
So how do I feel about the quilts being here? It feels momentous, and it feels amazing to be part of such an incredible legacy of activism and grief. So it's very complex, but also feels rallying for us all to be here in the same space and continuing the fight that needs to be fought.
Next, it was an absolute privilege to meet and chat to Lord Michael Cashman.
Well, this is extremely powerful and personal, not least because there's a wonderful quote there from Michael Sundin, who was a presenter on Blue Peter. I knew Michael, we had a brief liaison. and when he came out, he was subsequently sacked from the show. What this reminds us here today, the generation's lost, the love that's gone, how so much they could have taught us, how our lives would have been so much richer with them. But because of them, our lives will be richer still, because it's a powerful reminder that they died during a terrifying period, and I don't use that word easily. Where discrimination was easy and blatant. Homophobia was rife. Our front pages depicted people with AIDS as the plague carriers. It was called the gay plague. And so this is a reminder never to be silent again, to speak up for them, because there weren't many of us speaking out. But you know what? You remember the people who did speak out. And as a member of the House of Lords, I'm now going to use unparliamentary language. You also remember the who stayed in the closet and remained silent. Our rights are under attack now. If our opposition had something like AIDS and HIV again, they would have no hesitation in using it. I was lucky, very lucky, in that I was never HIV positive. I still test every year. I'm not trans. But if I don't speak out for trans women now, and trans men, and intersex and non-binary, and others who don't belong in the cozy world of acceptance of maybe LGB, if I don't speak up for them, I commit exactly the same unforgivable act as those who remain silent during the AIDS and HIV pandemic that we experienced in the 1980s and onwards, and that is still being experienced in other parts of the world. Get up off your ass. Get active. Equality doesn't diminish somebody else's rights. Not in conflict with women's rights. Equality reinforces the rights of others, because quite simply, to have the equal protection of the law, you have to abide by exactly the same laws as everybody else. It's called equality, stupid. And I'm saying that to myself. Thank you.
As well as displaying the quilt, the Tate Modern is also presenting a previously unseen documentary called There Is a Light That Never Goes Out. I chatted to activist and long-term survivor Jonathan Blake moments after watching the film.
Listen, hi, anybody, everybody, if you get a chance to see this film, it is so beautiful. I'm blown away by it. It has to be seen. Thank God they found it. But yeah, I'm lost for words, but it is exquisitely beautiful. And such a memorial, and yeah, just get to see her.
How does it feel to see the quilt again?
Oh, you know, I'm overwhelmed by it, and I now need to go and see it. So, thank you.
And finally, it was an honour to meet and chat to Cleve Jones, the man behind it all. The founder of the NAMES Project, or as we now know it, the AIDS Memorial Quilt.
I just want to say it's wonderful to be back in London, and I'm so grateful to all the people from the AIDS Quilt UK, from Tate Modern, everybody, part of the partnership. It's important for people to understand that AIDS never ended. And I find myself, when I am talking to young people about AIDS, that it's almost like listening to my Nana talking about being here in London during World War I. It was, you know, that amount of time. But that war ended and this war didn't. And now, unfortunately, we see that due to the actions by the US government and the Trump administration, that the stage has now been set for HIV to become roaring back because the virus is still out there. And we've only been able to make progress as long as treatment has been made accessible. Treatment as prevention, treatment to keep people like myself from dying and from transmitting the disease, and PrEP to help young people avoid getting infected. All of that now hangs in the balance, as well, you know, funding for the actual medications, and of course the education that has to go along with that to make sure that people know about it. So the actions by the Trump administration are unconscionable, they're devastating, the consequences will be measured in the deaths of, I fear, millions of people. So this is about memory, but this is not a nostalgia piece. This is a call to action, as well as a remembrance of those who passed.
For more information, you can visit AIDSquiltUK.org.
Listen. 97.2 FM.
Radio Reverb. So there we go. That was the interview with the fantastic people that I met. Just a few of the incredible people that helped put the day together and the whole weekend, where people got to see the quilt for themselves, in many cases for the first time. But something that really interests me while I was there, and we mentioned it in the interview, was the film that they showed called There Is a Light That Never Goes Out. Now, that was a film made 30 years ago that they managed, that was lost, and they found and discovered. And in the film, they had interviews with pop stars Michael Hutchins from NXS, yeah, Boy George, and Naina Cherry, who, wow, talked about how she had contributed to the quilt in memory, wow, of a friend of hers called Ray Petrie. And there's a beautiful section of the quilt where it just says the word buffalo and a beautiful little illustration. And obviously it connects to her song Buffalo Stance. So I think we've got that, yeah, coming up next.
We have indeed. Here we go.
Come aboard, sister.
Radio Reefer.
Have you seen the quilt, Sue?
I haven't, unfortunately. I was very jealous seeing all the pictures, yeah, of people going to see it.
Yeah, I've seen bits of it. What about you, Stephen?
Yes, yeah, so I worked on it when it was in the old building that THT was in. Yes, but that was only sections of it. You know, it was over, yeah, two floors, but still it wasn't enough room to yeah, show the whole quilt. But that itself was mega emotional. So
yeah, I came and saw you, and you're guiding people around, yeah, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. So I can only imagine how it felt to see, you know, yeah, so much.
As a whole piece, it's very moving. But when you look at each panel, because each panel represents somebody's life, and that's It's incredible, but it's the love and the devotion that people have put into it, and the little sort of, not, well, I suppose they'd call them Easter eggs these days, but like little clues to parts of their life which are subtle, but they're there, and different sort of stitching techniques. I remember when I saw the Terence Higgins AIDS Memorial quilt, and that's done into 8 panels, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just the amount of work that's gone into it, and the fabrics and the stories behind it, and the ships that he served on and what have you.
And also, do you remember Simon, who recently passed, who was one of our volunteers? Richard Angel was telling me that they've put aside some money to get a quilt made in memory of him. That's going to be happening hopefully soon.
Oh, great. And I know, because it went to America, didn't it? It was shown in DC, went on those big lawns in front of the big obelisky thing in front of the White House. It's a delicate thing to transport around, because obviously the fabrics that are now, some of them are 40 years old, and to conserve it and be responsible for it is quite a, it must be an honour, but also quite a task as well, because it's been, so we have put some details about the quilt on the front page of our website, and we've also included a link to Philip's video, which you heard the audio too. So if you go to www.hivhour.org.uk, you can see a link to Philip's video there. So for more information about the AIDS quilt, you can visit aidsquiltuk.org and learn more about it. So thank you ever so much, Philip, for doing that. Now, on other quilting news, Positive East, which is a charity where I'm hearing an awful lot more about. I mean, they seem to be doing some amazing work. And you mentioned them earlier, Philip, didn't you? Positive East are doing their own quilt. So this is going to be a quilt of people living with HIV, isn't it? So that's it's a completely different thing. And I think we've all done it now. We've all put our own...
Made up of our selfies, yes.
We have indeed. So I encourage you listeners and everybody, if you're living with HIV or if you're an ally, is to get involved in Positive East's U equals U quilt. And I've put the link on the front of our website, so it's positiveeast.org.uk/U=U. And Josh and I were really, and Sue, we were all at the Beaver Conference together in spring, weren't we? And we were two stalls away from Positive East's stall, and we met someone called Ian Montgomery. So we'll just hear what he had to say about the quilt then.
Radio Reverb.
Play something enlightening.
Hi, if you've just tuned in, this is the one and only HRVR on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area, .com online. And again, you can access our amazing podcasts at any time. We have the amazing Stephen. He's not in the UK. He's in the States, can you believe it? But he's ringing in on the show. That's the dedication we have from Stephen. But Stephen, tell us, what the heck are you doing in the States? Come on, out with it.
Thanks, Sue. So, yes, I am here in New York City, and I am here to do my show, Shadow Dreamer, which is returning to where it all began, which is really weird after 16 years. I'm back in the same space that I did my very first show in. So it's a bit mind-blowing. It's a bit weird because, you know, I did the run-through yesterday, and to be standing in that same space again and being 6 years older and 16 years older and being I actually think being a bit wiser, and just, it's great. So the show is happening later on today. It's great. It's great to be back here. It's great to be doing the show again, where it all began. So, yeah.
Great. Have you had repeat sort of visitors from 16 years ago to the shows that you're doing now?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's, you know, people that are coming to see the show today were in the audience 16 years ago. Wow. I've actually, two of the people were in my very first audience, which is crazy. And it'll be interesting to see what they think about the progression of the show, of the, you know, because it hasn't changed massively, mm-hmm. but you know, there's a few additions, as you all know, as you've seen it, you know. So so yeah, so it's really exciting. And obviously I've been doing a bit of touristy stuff, going to see some shows, which, you know, is really, yeah, it really floats my boat, that kind of thing. So seeing other performers doing their all on stage kind of gives me a bit of courage for doing it myself today.
Yeah, of course. So you've done a show in New York, this tour, or is this the first one tonight? Yeah.
Not yet, David. So I've done the run through the other day. So that was cool. That went well. So I was happy with that. So yeah, today is the big day. So obviously it's only 11:30 in the morning here in the UK. In the States. So 3 o'clock is. 3 o'clock is showtime.
And are you still singing the song in it?
I'm still singing the song in it. Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
So it's my friend actually sat in the run through on the other day, and obviously there's the addition now with the pictures and the videos and things like that. So she was like, "Oh," she says, "it's so good to be able to actually visualize the people that you're talking about." And so I'm excited to do it to the wider public today.
Yeah, because for people that don't know, so the song that Stephen sings is by an American composer who is a friend of mine. So it was a delight when I got to see it and hear him perform it. So you're taking it to an American audience, back where it belongs,
where it all started. Yeah.
Have you noticed? I mean, obviously, you haven't done a show since 16 years ago, but do you anticipate any difference in the sort of audience reaction to the material that you're doing?
I think what's been interesting, David, is doing it in the UK. It's just that the story still matters and the story's still valid. And I kind of had a fear that it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't connect with people anymore. But you know, as you all know, there's the conversation afterwards, and there's people sharing their stories, and that's what it did 16 years ago. So in a sense, David, in a sense, you know, I kind of feel it does the same, but at the same time, I know that there's going to be people in the audience today that have never seen Shadow Dreamer. Yeah. And somebody said to me, "Stephen, it's introducing it to a whole new generation of people." Mm. So that's exciting for me, definitely.
Yeah. I just wondered, because obviously with the current United States administration isn't very HIV friendly, shall we say. I just wondered, it would probably affect them more, perhaps. I don't know.
It has come up in conversation, David, about all the cuts and the, you know, the as Philip was talking about, the ends of programs in the UK. But here it's been, you know, there's funding for medication, funding for research, funding for just, it's all been cut, you know, so HIV, the subject of HIV is very definitely an important and, you know, valid conversation at the moment, which a lot of people are having. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what people's, you know, talk about HIV is today, because I'm sure there will be people. I know there's going to be people sitting in the audience that are living with HIV, so I know that it's going to push buttons for some people to have something to say in the Q&A afterwards. So that will be interesting.
Yeah, it definitely is a critical time, isn't it? Like you say, and it's a vital conversation that needs to be had, because the Trump administration are making some incredible changes that will affect the global market.
And the future as well, Phil, of people becoming, you know, HIV positive that don't need to be because of the cuts for PrEP, because of the cuts, you know, we are going to have I know we're working towards that 2030 goal, but I think, you know, definitely here in the States, they're worried that they're going to have a whole new, wave of people, you know, that get HIV that really don't need to, you know. So it's very definitely a hot topic.
So listeners, if you are new to the show, we know that, you know, from if you get tested, get onto treatment, you cannot pass it on. So please, you know, as a matter of just like looking after your mental health, you look after your sexual health, and go for regular tests, get onto treatment, and then you know we can't pass it on. Which brings me very nicely onto Sue. You did a crowdfunding campaign, didn't you, about Can't Pass It On?
Oh, well, Brighton recently launched, and I know we have spoken about this as well on the show, but Brighton recently launched the Can't Pass It On campaign underneath the Terence Higgins Trust. We wanted to revisit the campaign that had been out a little while, but we wanted to revisit that and really channel in that you cannot get HIV from a sexual partner if you are on effective treatment. And we wanted to sex it up. We wanted to make it sexy. We wanted to say, look, let's stop beating around the bush.
Yeah.
You cannot get, you know, we wanted to literally shout it, speak it out loud. And we thought, well, you know, how can we, what city could we start this campaign? Had it be Brighton and Hove, didn't it?
It had to be.
If it works in Brighton and Hove, that's got to be the starting block. So obviously I got involved with it, obviously, in the setup. A crowdfunder for me. I did reach my target. Thank you very much indeed.
Congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And, you know, I'm still seeing the pictures of Can't Pass It On the Brighton buses, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
They're going to stay there for a while, which is great. Yeah. And it really, you know, it's the same message. You've got two guys embracing, you've got a girl and a guy embracing, and it's all the same message. It's, you know, that it's transparent. If you're living with HIV on effective HIV treatment, meaning you're taking your tablets every single day, you are not going to be able to pass that on sexually. Fact, scientific evidence. Apart from the campaign, also I done some radio interviews and some TV interviews. Of course, I said yes because I like to be.
You were all over the place.
I know, wow. I was all over the shop, but you know, I mean, you know, there's a white heterosexual woman talking about HIV. I still shock people to this day. I don't know why I'm getting fed up with people shocking people. But, you know, and I enjoyed that to say, look, you know, if I'm telling you it's right, it's flipping right, you know. And I was really proud, you know, one of the interviews we've done on Brighton Beach in front of the pier, obviously. And I loved it. And, you know, that stuff also, guys, that it was quite funny because my grandson knew Nanny was going to be on telly, and of course my daughter came round and we wanted to see one of the interviews together, and of course he found it very amusing seeing Nanny's on the telly, you know. And, you know, when he's older I will keep that piece, and when he's older, guys, I will tell him like all the stuff I'm saving, I will tell him and share, you know, what Nanny did and what Nanny does. So and, you know, it's a conversation we want to have with everybody. And we really do hope that it gets, you know, kicked off in other cities. You know, that was the whole idea, David, of the fundraising, the GoCo. And we had some nice stars that took part. You know, I can't remember.
We had John Waite from Bake Off.
Right, yes.
And we had Ollie from I Kissed a Boy, but it was an incredible campaign. The photos were taken by Chris Jepson, who we all know has taken so many incredible photos over the year of activists. And it was just great to see the pictures. Like you say, they represent everybody, represent all of us.
Exactly. Doesn't matter who you are. So really proud to be representing the Terence Higgins Trust on that one. And we really hope that it does get kicked off another city, so watch this space. Yeah.
Well done, Sue. In fact, well done to all three of you. You're all three of you. You're out there doing it, you know, in your own way. You're not just doing it for the show, you're doing it because you're passionate and, you know, you're activists.
Spreading the message, not the virus.
Exactly.
I love that.
I went away for the weekend for Father's Day, and I met somebody in my hometown. They said, and I started telling them about my work. And they said, "Oh, why did they need an HIV hour? I mean, everybody dies of something in the end." But the whole point is, you know, we're showing the positive side. You don't have to die, do you? If you look after your sexual health, if you get tested regularly, if you get honest treatment, you know, you can't pass it on, as which is a great slogan. It's one of the best slogans I think there is. It's certainly more accessible than U equals U, as we know, which is undetectable equals untransmittable. But yeah, can't pass it on. What more do you need to know, really? It's entirely preventable. So nobody need die anymore, is it?
I know. As
touching as the, you know, I mean, the AIDS quilt is extremely touching, but it's nice to see that a new quilt's being done about people living with HIV. Mm. And you know, we're not negating the loss and the talent and the skills and the bereavement we've had to suffer. But yeah, it's great that we're all out there just doing our thing. And the HIV Hour is part of that, isn't it? It's just showing that HIV is nothing to be scared of anymore. So we're going to have some community news now. So that's all the community news I've got. Thank you very much. I mean, it's great. Thank you all for joining the show. What are you up to later on?
I'm going to the gym. I've got a marathon coming up later this year, so I've got to get into training.
Wow.
And I'm going to be doing my show, so.
Yes.
Break a leg.
Thank you.
All of us at from the HIV, and I'm sure all our listeners are shouting down the microphones, good luck! Good luck! So,
That's Stephen. And let's hope to see the Can't Pass It On campaign in other cities. Yeah. So thank you, listeners, for listening and giving your time. Don't forget, we're sponsored by the Jack Russell Technologies, and we're really thankful for them. And we look forward to seeing you in July. Cheerio.
Take care, everyone. Bye.